you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to two places. John chapter 3, verse 16, and Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This morning, the Lord wants me to share something with you that God's been putting in my heart probably for the last 3 months. And I want to tell you that this message today, I hope that it brings a revelation for you about something very special. This message has caused me to get on my face and repent. It's challenged the way I look at my life. It's challenged everything about ministry for me. It's challenged the very purpose that I feel like God has created me for. And I believe it's going to do the same for you. This is probably one of the most precious messages to the heart of God that can be preached in the body of Christ today. And so my prayer is that you will hear what God is saying to the church and that you will receive and respond accordingly today. Everybody say amen. So I think because of that, we really, really, really need to say our Bible affirmation today, because this affirmation is really about asking God to speak to us and opening our hearts so we can hear what God is saying. And I want to say this is not just a word to Rohi Christian Church, but to the church globally as well. All right? Hold your Bibles or your electronic devices up in the air, and let's say this Bible affirmation. If you don't have one, just stick your hand up in the air, just like you got one. Let's say this. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, you probably don't even need, some of you who are Bible scholars probably don't even need to see the words on the screen for these next two passages. But just in case, and for those of us who stumble over things when we try to memorize them and speak them, we're going to put the words up for you. But John 3, 16 and 17, and then we're going to be looking at Matthew 28, 19 through 20. All right, John 3, 16. Let's read together. I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. Like I said, the words are on the screen. Now, for those of y'all who think y'all bad, close your eyes and try it. Just kidding. All right, ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would break our hearts with the thing that break your heart. That, Father God, you would move and speak right now. That you would speak mightily. That, God, you will help us to have a vision that's much bigger than our own. Lord, speak to us. Move me aside. Holy Spirit, come in and have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen. All right, the title of my message today is God's Heart for Christmas. God's Heart for Christmas. I struggle trying to create Christmas sermons. And I'm going to tell you why. I've been saved since I was 7. Learned the Christmas story when I was probably 3. So that's quite a few years ago. And I've been in church for a long time. I think I've heard the Christmas story told every which way possible. I feel like it's always good to hear it, to remind yourself, you know, Mary, she was single, doing her thing. Then Holy Spirit said, here, you gonna have a baby. She like, okay. She get pregnant. Joseph like, ooh, that ain't my baby. Angel show up to Joseph. Joseph is like, hey, cool. I get it. Girl, I'll marry you anyway. I guess she was telling the truth. They get married. They have this baby named Jesus. Ain't no room for him in the inn because, you know, it's a party going on and everybody done locked all their stuff up. So he got to go to a stable, had a baby in the stable. You know, he's in a manger in some hay, but it's probably more than the hay. The animals all around mooing and nan and ah. And everybody's like, angels are singing hallelujah. That's the Christmas story. It's a great story. I've told it 50 million times. I've looked at it. Every year I try to find some freshness to it. And I was like, God, I ain't got nothing fresh about Christmas this year. Matter of fact, I'm kind of feeling like, how do we, even the worship team, we always go, it's so hard with Christmas songs. You know, like, how do we bring those in? How do we bring that into worship? And this year, the Lord was like, you know what? I think you're missing why I sent that baby. I was like, well, of course you sent him to save me. He was like, no, go back to my word. And I was like, okay. So I went to John 3:16, and it says, for God so loved the world. And I stopped at the world. And I said, okay, God, I get it. You want everybody to come to Christ. He said, no, you're missing it. He said, I have a love for the world. I said, yeah, God, I get it. He said, no, you don't understand. The same way I love you, I love everybody in the entire world. I'm crazy about everybody in the entire world. I said, good for you, God. And God started to speak to me and say, I want to show you that from the very beginning of time, all I've ever wanted was for the world to know me. And so this passage says, for God, because he loved the entire world, he gave up his one and only son. He allowed him to come and be born in these conditions so that those who believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17. This is so powerful. For God didn't send his son where? Into the whole world. It was funny he didn't say God didn't send his son into Jerusalem. He said, no, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the entire world. But here it is, but that the world through him might be saved. I was like, God, that's pretty cool. So your heart for Christmas was all about the world. He was like, yeah. And I said, cool. And God said, well, where's your heart? I said, I don't think I understand what you're saying. He's like, go to Matthew 28. Jesus, before he left, remember, God's heart is for the world. Jesus comes into the world so that the world could be saved. He dies on the cross, is buried, rises again. His final words to his disciples are this: go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's the world. Jesus is like, I care about all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything that I command them. And I thought about that and I said, God, I don't think I care about the world like you care about the world. I think I care about San Jose. But I don't think I care about the world like you care about the world. So then I said, well, do you really care about the world? And God took me on a journey that I'm going to take you on today. Because I think if I say it one or two times, you're like, yeah, I should care about the world. But when I started seeing it in scripture from Genesis to Revelation, it changed everything for me. See, our goal as the church is to see disciples made of all nations. And I want you to think about nations not just as in a geopolitical nation, like the United States is a nation or France is a nation. But in the Bible, when they talk about nations, that word means ethnos, which means people with the same tongue and people with the same language and with the same cultural practices. So he wasn't talking about geopolitical nations. He was talking about people who are of all different backgrounds and all different cultures and people who have something that might be in common. Maybe it's people who are black or white or people who are black or white in America or Hispanic or Asian or Filipino or Korean or Tongan. Or he cares about all of them. Maybe it's not the ethnos that way. Maybe our combination and our care is that our ethnos is tied to the fact that we're disabled and we have the same disability, and so we understand each other in a way that nobody else does. But God said, I love the whole world because I wanted to, and I sent Jesus in a manger so that every ethnos, every nation can know me. Every nation can know me. And so I want to take you on this quick tour about what this looks like. If you go back to the book of Genesis, now there's going to be a lot of scriptures that I'm going to give you. This is going to feel a little bit like a Bible study, but I think it won't hit you unless I show you all these places. So I encourage you to write these scriptures down. I encourage you to go home and look at them again. If you want to try, I think you can follow along because there's something about actually turning to the pages for yourself that does something. But Crystal's going to put them up on the screen, and I hope I'm going to try to slow down so she can stay with me, all right? So Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. This is one of the first places when God started speaking blessing over Abraham. He says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I shall show you. Watch verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Now watch verse 3. This is where it comes. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The promise to Abraham was not just, Abraham, you gonna get a land. Abraham, you gonna have a child. Abraham, you gonna be a great man. No, Abraham, through you, I'm gonna bless all the nations of the earth. God's blessing to Abraham wasn't just about Abraham. It was about all the other people who would come through him. What am I trying to say to you? God's blessing to you is not just about you. It's about all the families of the earth that are going to get blessed through you. And some of you are like, well, I'm not like Abraham. I don't have a whole lot. I got my 2-3 kids. No. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you, and God, many of you, for your whole life, God's been trying to pull you to something bigger and pull you to something greater, and you don't know what it is, but all we do in the American church is talk about this, how you can get blessed. And God is like, I'm sick of talking to the American church about how you can get blessed, because the reason I'm blessing you is so that all the nations of the earth can get blessed through you. See, we keep thinking about me. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you see these scripture, your definition of church is going to change. Because we are in an American culture, and the American culture, the Western civilization, has turned church into this intellectual thing where it's all about me and mine. If I can believe it, then I can get it. You know what? God is like this. I'm going to give it to you. Giving it to you ain't the problem. It's getting it through you that I'm having the problem with. I'm going to blow your Americanized idea about how church is all about you. We pick churches based on what the church can do for me. Did you hear God, this blessing wasn't about? It wasn't even about Abraham. It was about, I got to do this so I can bless everybody else in the earth. All right, you don't like that passage. Genesis 18, 17 through 18. Still talking about Abraham. It says this, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. So this is about Abraham. Abraham, you're going to be a great and mighty nation. But wait, God says, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God didn't just say it one time. He told Abraham again, I'm blessing you, and in you, you're going to be great, but all the nations of the earth are going to be great. When was the last time you started thinking about people outside of your family? People outside of San Jose? People outside of the United States? Oh, okay. We don't. I'm not fussing because I got cut watching this and reading this in scripture. And then I was like, but God. And he was like, let me keep showing you. Genesis 22, 17 through 18. See, here it is about you again. Blessing, I will bless you. I'm like, yes, it's about me. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is in the seashore. I was like, yes. And your descendants shall possess the gates of your enemies. Come on, some of us be like, hallelujah. Look at what you're going to do for me. Verse 18, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be. Okay, so now we got you blessed. But what am I trying to do is bless the nations of the earth. They shall be blessed. Why? Because you obeyed my voice. See, your obedience is not just tied to your blessing. Your obedience is tied to the blessing of all the nations of the earth. This is why you got to stop acting like, oh, I messed up and everything's going to fall apart. No, God is like, no. When you obey me, if you mess up, I'm going to forgive you because there's something greater I'm trying to do through you. And that something greater ain't just for you and your family. That something greater is for all the ethnos, all the nations, all the people that are coming on the earth. See, church and coming to Christ is so much bigger than what you get. We got to have a bigger view. I believe that we have been global believers since the beginning of time. But our problem is our global view has shrunk. For many of us, our world is just the neighborhood I live in. That's not our world. Abraham had a son, and his name was Isaac. And so God said to Isaac, watch this, the same thing he said to Abraham, Genesis 26, verse 4. So these are this is the patriarch, Father Abraham. He has a child, and God speaks, Genesis 26, 4, and says, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. Sounds like that's personal to me. I will give to your descendants all these lands. Still sounds personal, but watch this. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Yeah, I'm going to bless you, but I'm blessing you because I'm trying to get to all the nations of the earth. Huh. This is why I keep saying, God, you have to bless me. Because if you don't bless me, I can't get to the nations of the earth. I wonder if the reason why God hasn't released blessings is because my view has been so narrow that all I've been thinking about is what I'm going to do with it for me. And not thinking about how can I expand the gospel globally. Ooh. I told y'all this was going to hurt a little bit. I'm telling you, I have this problem. As a pastor of a church, I thought I was doing something trying to reach San Jose. And God was like, girl, you ain't did nothing. And I haven't really done a lot, but I just thought, we haven't really done a lot, God. Genesis 28, 14. Isaac has a son. His name is Jacob. So if you'll see in the Bible will say he's the God of our father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here's God speaking now to Abraham's grandson, Jacob, in Genesis 28, 14. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's showing up again. Okay. You don't like that. So we got through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Another patriarch of the faith is Moses. Now, if anybody needs them to speak just about what's happening in their situation, it's Moses. Because it's 2 million of his folks in slavery. So if you think about it, that's enough, God. If you just get 2 million people out, you done really did a work. But Exodus 9:16, watch this. God speaks to him and said, but indeed for this purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. It wasn't just, hey, Moses, I'm going to raise you up so that the Egyptians will see God, or I'm going to raise you up so that the Israelites will believe me and they'll get out. He was like, no. I'm raising you up for such a time as this. I'm putting my power in you that my name can get declared all in the earth. Why is God raising you up? Why is God doing what he's doing in your life? Why is God's power, why does God want to place power on you? It is not just so that I can sit here and go, oh, hey, this is good for my family. No. It's so that his name can be declared in all the earth. I think we think too small. Some of us ain't even thinking about how we can help the person next door. That's one thing. Let's start there. Some of us were like, okay, I'm helping out. I'm doing some stuff around the community. You know what God said? That's still too small. You're like, okay, well, I can do stuff in California. Too small. United States, too small. Okay, God, the whole world, now you're getting it. Have you ever started thinking about why did God give me these gifts? Why did God give me these talents? And how can I take these things globally for the kingdom of God? What can I do so that people worldwide can know? And some of y'all are like, hold up. I ain't been called to missions. This ain't even about missions. There are some people who are called to missionary work. God bless them. I don't know if that is your call. What I do know is that's not everybody's call in here. So I'm going to prove these things to you and then show you ways in which you can take the gospel to the nations right where you are right now. Has anybody ever thought about how global we are and how globally we are connected through the internet? What are we doing to reach people globally? Oh, okay, let me keep going, because Father God, that was just Moses. What about Joshua? Because Joshua was the next major figure. Joshua 4, 23 through 24. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. Wow, that's so good. God bless me to cross over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. Woohoo! How many of y'all remember when we moved into this building and when we moved into our building on Piercy Road, we crossing the Jordan. Woohoo! We got over. We got our land, y'all. We got some land. Even though we don't own it, we own it. Verse 24, but why did I cause you to cross over? That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The reason we got into this building was not about, oh, we got a building. It was that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord. We got to get a world global view. We are global Christians. Watch this. It doesn't just happen with Joshua. It goes on with David. David in 1 Chronicles 16, 23 through 24. 1 Chronicles 16, he says, sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord what? All the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among all peoples. David was a worshiper. And you know what David said? David said, I'm a worshiper, but I want all the earth to be a worshiper too. I want to declare his glory to all the earth. I want to declare his glory among all the peoples. What are we doing to declare God's glory among all the earth and among all the peoples? Your blessing, your gifts, your talents were not given to you for you. They were not given to you just for your family. They were given to you for all the nations of the earth to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles 6, 32 through 33. We went from David, now we talk about his son Solomon. Can you see that God cares? Can you see the heart of God? Do you realize that the heart of God is all about the nations? So when he said God so loved the world, that wasn't something he had just came up with. From the beginning of time, all the nations is what God cared about. Watch this, Solomon in 2 Chronicles 6, 32 through 33. Moreover, concerning a foreigner, so these are people who are not your own people, but has come from a far country for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when they come and pray in this temple. Oh, man, let me just pause right there. We think that the children of Israel only had Israelites in the temple, but they had sections of the temple for people. They had the Jewish court of priests. They had a Jewish court for the men. They had a Jewish court for the women, and they had a Gentile court so that people who were not like them could come and still hear the wonders of God. He says, when they come and pray in this temple, watch this, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, and do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. What Solomon is saying is when I lift up Jesus, there are going to be foreigners who are going to come. Guess what we do on December 21st? In this temple will be people who are not believers. In this place will be people who are foreign to this area and this land. There will be people who are foreign to us ethnically. They're not the same. But all we keep trying to do is just like, hey, I want to just give you this gift. Get on out of my face. What if we take the time, lift up the name of Jesus, and talk to them and have a relationship with them? Because when you do that, you're reaching the nations. And some of y'all are like, well, I don't understand what they're saying. Sit down and try. Figure it out. Don't just talk about what we do. Ask them, what are some of your traditions? Did you grow up believing in Jesus? Because there are a lot of immigrants to this country who came by faith who are believers in Jesus Christ. We just don't think they're believers. Why? Because they don't look like American Christians. Ask them, what are some of, do you guys celebrate Christmas? What do you do in your country? Those are simple questions you can ask at Christmas for San Jose to begin a relationship. Why? Because here's what the mistake Americans and Europeans made when they went to go colonize and mission and do missions work. When they went to do missions work, you know what they did? They said, be like me. Worship like me. Do like me. Stop doing that. That's devil stuff. They stripped people of their connection the way they knew it with God. Look here. That's not what a good missionary does. What a good missionary does is goes in and discovers and understands the culture and tries to figure out how the culture works. I've heard stories told of communities where they'll have like a head chief or priest, and they try to go in and evangelize people one-on-one, and folks say, you're wasting your time. If you want this community to come to Jesus, go talk to that chief. We don't understand that because we're like, everybody has their individual choice. Not in their culture, they don't. So stop trying to make their culture like us and go and ask them. You got people on your job who have a different culture than you. Start talking to them, not about this is what we do and you ought to do Christmas like that. No, ask them, what is life like for you? Thanksgiving is probably one of the best times to do it because don't nobody understand Thanksgiving but Americans. So talk to them. They want to understand our culture because they've chosen to live here, but we are doing nothing to understand their culture. Here's the catch. If you grab hold of this, well, let me wait. I'm going to wait before I give you the trick. Here we go. David again. Well, let's move on. I'm going to skip the Psalms one because let's not. Psalms chapter 2. I'm going to slow down. Psalm 2, 7 through 8. I got time. This is David. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me. I love this. Some of you are like, I don't know how to do this, God. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and to the ends of the earth for your possession. We are thinking too small. Ask of me. Ask of me to do something globally through this ministry. Ask of me to do something bigger through you. Ask of me to do something greater, because you know what? You were created for a much bigger purpose than you think you were. Just ask him. And the Lord said, if you ask me, you want to see this again, you don't have to turn there, but John 15 says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask and I will give it to you. Ask me for what you wish and I will give it to you. And it goes on to say, for by this they'll know you're my disciple. We're not asking God for nothing. God, bless me with a house, bless me with a car. God's like, you know how easy it is for God to give you a house and a car? You feel like it's hard because we live in the Bay Area. You know how much these houses cost? God is like, I can drop that at any moment. What I want you to do is get a bigger vision. What I've learned is when you put your eyes on something bigger than yourself, God says, okay, they get Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be taken care of and added unto you. The problem is we so busy trying to seek his kingdom and our righteousness for ourselves. And we're like, God, it ain't working. And he's like, because I told you it wouldn't. What's my kingdom? My kingdom is global. My kingdom is bigger. Seek for what I'm trying to do on a bigger scale and watch me take care of you. Watch me do something for you. Oh, you can see. What's that? Why wouldn't God want to bless you if you are fulfilling his heart's purpose? Let me say this to you. Psalm 22, 27 through 28. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the world God cares about. God's heart for Christmas. Check this out. If we just think about America, America may be about population-wise, 5% of the entire world. If God's heart is for the world, then we only have about 5% of God's heart. If all you're thinking about is San Jose, that's less than 1% of the world's population. You only have less than 1% of God's heart. So when we sing a song like, give us your heart, you got to understand, God's like, my heart's so much bigger. So much bigger. Now, many times we quote Psalm 46. My next one is Psalm 40. Y'all see, I'm just in Psalms. Am I still with you? And I see it. So many of us are just like, yeah, maybe I'd have a bigger view if I wasn't struggling financially. Maybe that's why you're struggling financially. Psalms 46, 10. Many times we quote this passage, be still and know that I am God, but nobody pays attention to the rest of the passage. Be still. God, I don't know how to do this. Be still and know that I'm God. Watch this. Because I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Do you see how God cares about the earth and the nations? He's saying, I want you to be still and know that I'm God, but not just because you're going through stuff and you stressed and he wants you to calm down. He's like, be still and know that I'm God, because I'm going to do something that's going to be exalted among all the nations in you. Just sit here and watch. Okay, you don't like that? One of my favorite ones is, I'm going to skip down to it, in Haggai. Oh, boy. I got so many. Watch this. In Haggai, chapter 2, verse 7. I moved really fast, Crystal. It's really far. Haggai, chapter 2, verse 7. I love this passage. God says, I will shake the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. That's Jesus' names. One of the names of Jesus is desire of all nations. Haggai 2:7. I know I moved too fast, and I'm going to jump backwards, so just so you're singing that. Haggai 2:7. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of... See, those desire of all nations is capitalized. It's a title. It's a person. Jesus' name is that he desires all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory. God is so much bigger. God's heart is so much bigger. This happens in a lot of scriptures. I don't have time to go through all of them. In the book of Isaiah, when he starts talking to prophets, it shows up. In Zephaniah and Daniel, when Daniel is praying, it shows up. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. In Daniel chapter 7, the Bible says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given, watch this, to Jesus was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. Why? So that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not come or pass away. Can you see his heart? Malachi chapter 3, verse 12. Malachi chapter 3, verse 12. This is the last book before we cross into the New Testament. And you know how God ends this book? All the nations will call you blessed, for you'll be a delightful land. All the nations will call you blessed. Are you starting to get the point? This isn't just an occasional thing God pops up. God is not just a God of one type of people. He's a God of all people and tribes and tongues. So it should be no surprise when he says, go make disciples of all nations. Okay, you don't like this? Let me show you this in New Testament, because y'all like, that's Old Testament. It ain't in the New Testament. Yes, it is. Mark chapter 11, verse 17. This one I love. I love all of them, but this one's a good one. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer? That's where most of us stop. But it says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. When was the last time you prayed for the nations? I had to get on my face and repent. I only pray for the nations when I happen to be seeing something on Facebook about something that might have happened globally that I feel like, man, I should probably pray about it because I'm sad that it's happening. I do not consistently pray for all the nations. And God said, that's got to change. It's got to change. You cannot have influence where you have not prayed. You will not have influence in all the nations if you haven't been praying for all the nations. It's pretty interesting. Luke 24, 46 through 47. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead and the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin, watch this, should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus died, was buried, rose again, so that repentance and remission of sin could be preached to all nations. All right, some of y'all are like, I get it. Well, catch this one. Acts 1:8, you got to see this one. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Check this out. Your job is to have the Holy Spirit come upon you so that you can be God's witness right in your current city, that's Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, that's kind of like your county and your country, and then to the ends of the earth. Many of us are just stuck in Jerusalem. We haven't fulfilled the rest of why the Holy Spirit is trying. Some of y'all are like, oh, I'm seeing God do some miracles, and I'm starting to, oh, I get prophetic words, and oh, this is so good. And God is like, okay, now what are you doing with it? What you doing with it? I don't know, God. I'm just, you know. You cannot have influence where you're not praying. If you're not praying for the nations, you won't know where God's sending you because you can't influence anything that you ain't been praying about. So you can't figure, you can't even, we don't even, what's funny is how can God speak to us about something we ain't asking him about? That's why I'm challenging you this morning. Gotta get a bigger view. All right, and I'm going to close on this one. Revelation, because I want to prove to you that this is from Genesis to Revelation. Revelation 7, 9 through 10. If you don't get anyone, get this. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hand, and crying out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. If you don't catch it now, in heaven you're going to see people from all nations, all tongues, all tribes, with their hands lifted out, crying out, salvation, it belongs to our Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is where all of history has been headed towards. God's designed it this way. So when he says, go and make disciples of all nations, because he wants that to be the picture in heaven. Church is not just about you. Why do we ask you to serve in this church? You know why? We have a vision, mission, and purpose. And for those of you who are kind of like, I don't know what it is, we just put it up on the wall. Woohoo! It's real, change, now, go. And what that means is God, we want to make sure that people have real and authentic connections with you. That's why we work so hard in worship services, to make sure that we meet God, we experience God. Change happens in small groups and community. You get transformed. Now that you get changed, serve in the church, and then go into all the world and make disciples of nations. Watch this. That is the process for how you become a global Christian. You have to first have a connection with God. Then you need to have a connection with your community around you, because transformation is going. You know what? You can't change by yourself. You think you can, but you can't. Let me tell you why. Because you think you got it together. This is the reason why God have people get married. Because when you get married, that other person, they see your mess. And they call you on it. And you don't like it. But that's what they're there for. Because change happens in community. So small groups, it ain't about people telling you your business. It's about us coming together and encouraging each other so that we can grow. Why do I need you to grow? Because now I need you to serve in the church. Because what happens when you serve in the church is you get outside of yourself before it gets too big for you. Like if you try to go serve the world, it's too hard. But if you can get out of yourself and start serving in your church, then it'll be easier for you to start looking at how can I serve the world. And then that's why we say now go and tell somebody else about Jesus. Here is what I want to get to. There's two things that I need to finish with. In this message, here's the two things I need to finish with. Number one, I was at a conference, and he started talking about, you know, missions work. And I literally was like, y'all sitting there like, yeah, I ain't going on nobody's mission field, Jesus. Like, I need electricity, running water. You might, and I know, Jesus, you're going to send me to someplace where I got to go to the bathroom in a little hole. It's me and you, God. That ain't, you know, I hate to tell you, God, what I ain't going to do, but yeah, I ain't going to do that. So I'm sitting there kind of arms folded like, eh, you know, this is a good conference, but this ain't got nothing to do. We just kind of, you know, take a couple notes, but I'm going to miss me with this whole message. And then the guy, he gave this illustration. He says, how many of y'all like trail mix? Anybody eat trail mix? You like trail mix? Trail mix is cool because it's got like, you know, like M&Ms and peanuts and cashews, like all the nuts in the world kind of get in the bag and, you know, and they give you these little sunflower, you know, in one cent they give you sunflower seeds. When you first get the bag, it's like everything's all mixed together. It's pretty cool. But, you know, you had that bag for a while, all the little sunflower seeds starts to go to the bottom. And, you know, you kind of like them sunflower seeds. So what do? You shake the bag up to redistribute, watch this, to redistribute all of those nuts so that you get it evenly and consistently flavored. He says what is happening in the world is that throughout the course of time, we have started to get settled in our own ethnos. We've started to get settled in our own nations. We've started to get settled in places and people that look like us. And what God is doing is God is taking the bag of the world and shaking up all the nuts, and he's making sure that the nuts are being distributed all over the world. He said that is the reason why your community is so full of people who don't look like you. It's the reason why you see people from other countries showing up. It's the reason why immigration is happening here. And unfortunately, because of our current president, immigration has a bad term. No, that's God shaking the world up. Why? Because what God is trying to do is he's trying to touch all the earth. And he's figuring if you can't go to them, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring them to you. And if I bring them to you and you tell them about Jesus, then when they go back, watch this, they already know the culture. They don't have to learn that new. They have to understand that. They know how to bring the gospel so that the gospel can be transformed where they are. This is why we have so many cultures in schools and colleges today. This is why God has made people come from closed countries, countries where the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be preached. They are all here in our schools. They're all here around the corner at Evergreen College. They all here down the street at San Jose State. They are all here living next door to you. And you know what we're doing? They don't look like me. They don't act like me. And God says, you ain't gotta go to nobody's mission field. Start opening yourself up to the people who don't look like you, act like you, or think like you right here in your own community. And watch what I'm able to do. This happened, and I didn't understand the enormity of it 2 years ago. 2 years ago, what we do at the beginning of every year is we hold a time of fasting and prayer. First 21 days of the year, I like to dedicate them to God. I like to give him my first fruits. And so I say, God, here we go. I'm going to fast and pray. 2 years ago, I opened that up and I said, okay, let's do this together. I even wrote a little small ebook about it. And I said, hey, you know, guys, we're going to do this together. Sign up. Put it on our website. Never advertised it. But I had a sign-up form. So I was just hoping y'all would sign up so that I knew how to email y'all the books. We could be praying together. What I did not understand 2 years ago was that when we signed up, I think we had about 117 people sign up. And we don't have 117 people in our church. But when I started looking at where they came from, over 43 countries were represented in that one 21-day period of praying together. I didn't ask for it. I didn't try it. I didn't work hard at it. I wasn't even thinking of global, but I was shocked. I was so shocked, I didn't know how to handle it. I was like, hey, this is awesome, God. I didn't even catch it. God was like, trying to do something here. Trying to do something. And I actually connected with a pastor of a church that's called Rohi in Africa. I think it was in like Zambia or something like that. And he and I were on Facebook, and we kind of started talking about what was happening in his church and how things were different. And I kind of let it go. I didn't think about it until October, when I was sitting there and I thought about the world being shaken up. And I thought about a couple things. I said, well, God, we do the 21 days of prayer. And God started speaking to me. He says, it's going global next year. I was like, well, it went global last time. He said, yeah, but now you understand why. Now we're going to do things a little different. And what God is calling me to do, I don't understand it all. And I'm telling y'all, sometimes when God tells you to do something, you don't get it. Just do it. Trust the process. I believe we're going to see people from around the globe who are going to sign up for 21 days of prayer again. But this time, we're not going to focus on praying for us. We're going to focus on praying for Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. The first week, we'll talk about you and yours. The second week, we're talking about our local nation, country, area that we're in. And then we're going to start praying for the world. The difference is my prayer and my desire is that we connect with people globally through Facebook, that we have a relationship where we can hear what's happening, hear the testimonies, find out what's going on, and that this church will be praying about, God, where do we get involved? Because God's doing something way bigger than us. That's really what I want to say. That's really what this is about. And so I'm asking people, I actually started working on the book to release again January 1st, and the Holy Spirit told me, you need to print that book, you need to publish it. And I was like, here we go again. You always got projects for me, God. And so what we're going to be doing, we're going to be asking you, can you get a name, piece of paper, and write some stuff? Name. I need names, emails. If you're interested, the books are $10. They're in full color. They'll be printed up. They should be available by next Sunday. What I'd like for you to do at the end of service is to see Jewel. Don't leave, though, Jewel, because you got to come back and help me. I want you to see Jewel, and I want you to sign up. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to email you the registration this week, so you can sign up and say, yeah, I want to be a part of the 21 days of fasting and praying. And we're doing something different this year as well. What we're doing is we're going to have 21 days of fasting and praying, but Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So we are going to be praying corporately live in our church for the first 21 days of the year. So every day there will be prayer happening. We're going to be letting you know what day and time those prayers are. There's some consistency to it, but I don't know all of the days and time off the top of my head. We want you to come and join us, not just praying personally, but make a sacrifice and pray for God, pray to God with others for all the nations. What I believe God's going to do with this 21 day of prayer is set your decade off. 2019 is ending a decade. 2020 is starting a new decade. And I believe if we give God the first 21 days of a new year and a new decade, we are going to say, God, I'm choosing to seek you. God's going to say, I got the rest. I got the rest. So I want to encourage you. And if you're, you know, saying, hey, I'm not going to be here during those 21 days, that's okay. Because what I'm going to be doing is for 21 days every day going on Facebook, doing a Facebook Live. So I'm going to ask you to join our Facebook group for 21 days of fasting and prayer. And I'm going to be talking to you and encouraging you and praying with you. It won't be long. It won't be like hours of Facebook. It'll probably be a 5 or 10 minute Facebook Live. If you miss it, the recordings will be there. We're just going to talk about the testimonies that God's doing, talk about the prayer requests and see what God's doing. I want you to take time and ask God, what should I fast from? Because the fast, I encourage it to be a food fast. If you have health reasons and you cannot fast from a food, fast from something else. You know, maybe you're fasting from TV, or maybe you're fasting from Facebook, or maybe you're fasting from your kids. Oh, that don't work, sorry. But seek the Lord and find out. The reason why I say fast from food, because it's a discipline that happens in your physical body. Your flesh is strong. When you take away foods from your flesh, you tell your flesh, you are going to listen to me. You're going to do what I say. And what that does is it puts your flesh in a subjection to your spirit. So then you're ready to really hear from what God is saying. If you're looking for direction for yourself, that's good. We'll spend the first week. But I'm going to tell you this. We're not going to take the whole time talking about you and praying for you. So if you like, I need a breakthrough, go in your own prayer closet, pray for yourself. Weeks 2 and 3, we got to get bigger, guys.